Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
If someone in this country has strongly held pro-life views, can you commit to us so people can understand if they're going to buy a policy that has abortion coverage or not?
By the word alone, without any other power, the church was founded. By the word alone, all the great deeds recorded in church history were accomplished. By the word alone, the church will most assuredly stand also in these last days of sore distress.
He always would quote the apology. Ne desperemus. Let's not despair. Jesus prays for his church.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices down the line.
What you will commonly hear, what you'll commonly hear told is the message of the church to those who struggle with same-sex temptation is something along the lines of, and you've heard this before, something along the lines of, you're not welcome, your sin is different from everyone else's, we hate you, we can't tolerate you, you're not welcome here on Sunday morning or any other time. Now, I don't know of very many churches, with the exception of that Westboro Baptist bunch, that actually hold to that message to those who struggle with same-sex temptation. So if that hasn't been and isn't the church's message to those struggling with same-sex temptation, what is the church's message? What is the church's message to those who are struggling with it or to the families of those who are struggling with same-sex temptation? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Kevin Carner joins us here for the first few minutes to talk about that very message that the church has for those who struggle with same-sex temptation, to their parents, to their friends, to their loved ones, for the whole church. A little bit later, Wesley Smith will join us. We'll talk about a euthanasia bill that applies to children in Belgium. It is a threshold, a moral threshold, as though more haven't and couldn't be crossed. This one is about to be crossed in Belgium. Wesley Smith will give us his thoughts on that. And then in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., our pastor's roundtable will be looking at Matthew chapter 9. Jesus does two miracles. He heals a woman with a lifelong disease, and he raises a little girl who has just died. Pastor Randy Asbury, Pastor Christopher Eskett will be our pastor's roundtable. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, especially if you have a question or a comment for our pastor's roundtable. We will be giving away the Lutheran Study Bible. You can go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or you can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Kevin Carner is a pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Bristol, Connecticut. He's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled, It's Broken, Hope and Healing for the Struggle. Kevin, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much, Todd. It's a pleasure to be here.
Given what the Bible says about our own brokenness and sin, the world around us broken in sin, should we Christians be surprised when we find the struggle with same-sex attraction or temptation in our families, in our churches?
Sure. No, and obviously in your question, I think you've already answered that. Surprise, no. And we live certainly in a broken world that God designed perfectly and intended to be as perfect as He. And yet, because of sin, we find ourselves now living among a lot of brokenness, and certainly in the area of human sexuality, that brokenness has manifested itself in a variety of ways, not just same-sex attraction, but that most certainly is one area today that's gotten a lot of attention and has certainly caused us as Christians to ask ourselves some very important questions about ministry and just what the Bible has to say about it.
We tend to think of same-sex attraction as a special category of struggle or of temptation. Is that biblically warranted?
absolutely not. And I think actually that's been one area that in the past I think the church has certainly suffered itself from, and that is, you know, we're often accused of focusing exclusively on the sin of homosexual behavior and not speaking to the many heterosexual sins, you know, no-fault divorce and premarital sexuality and the host of other sexual sins that find themselves on the heterosexual side. So, obviously, the Bible has much to say about how we use and should not use our bodies, and we don't do anybody a service by just exclusively focusing on one type of sexual sin, which would be homosexual behavior.
What is it about this particular kind of temptation, either in the societal norms, which are obviously changing very quickly, or the message that church has inadvertently been sending in a lot of cases? What is it about that that has kept it on the taboo list, not just a sin like any other sin, but something that people are unwilling to talk about or sometimes even unwilling to recognize?
Sure. Well, you know, I mean, human sexuality is a very personal, intimate type. You know, it's who we are as human beings, and so it's very important that we understand God's will for our lives in the area of sexuality and what that will isn't. So we can't just focus ourselves on the aberrant or the abnormal or even the sinful. I think the church needs to concern itself with a positive role model, not just saying no to what God has forbidden, but providing you know, resources and opportunities for people to better understand the proper use of our bodies and minds and how that all impacts the area of sexuality. But it shouldn't be surprising to anyone that such a wonderful gift and blessing of God's could be turned and twisted and used by Satan and the evil side of things to further corrupt God's good creation. So it really behooves us to get a handle, as I say, not on just telling people what isn't according to God's will, but to really hold up the gift that sexuality is and God's ideal for it, and to discuss, you know, when things are done the way God commands it to be done, it's such a blessing, and to hold up that positive aspect of sexuality.
I want your pastoral reflection, if you would, on kind of three different scenarios that a parent might find themselves in. And this is kind of, this is not unusual at all for anybody listening to us. I'm sure they either have experienced this as parents or more likely had a family member that had something similar situation. The kid comes home from college, boy or girl, doesn't really make any difference. And they announce to the parents, look, I'm gay. This is who I am. I've known it for a long time. And I finally got enough courage to tell everybody and to tell you and tell the world. The first reaction a parent might have is, well, now the relationship is utterly broken. I mean, from this point on, everything has changed and it will never be the same as it was before. What's your pastoral reflection on that reaction?
What you've just given voice to is certainly a normal, you know, human response, I would say, although I would, in a pastoral way, beg to differ with the parent at that point. When you say that everything has changed, certainly relationship-wise, something has changed, and it's certainly gonna cause that family to, you know, relate in ways that perhaps in the past they hadn't. But the one thing that hasn't changed, and certainly any parent would be able to know this and feel this, is that regardless of what my children ever do, I love them. And they are God's gift to me as a father or as a mother. And, you know, we often would tell our children, there's nothing you can do, honey, that will ever stop me from loving you. So that certainly has not changed how the parent feels about their child and the importance that that child plays in their life. That hasn't changed. And I think obviously as a pastor, I would encourage the parents to make sure that that message is conveyed to their son or daughter, because as you said, the son or daughter's had to get up the courage to finally tell them about their what's been going on in their sexual lives. and that's certainly not an easy proposition to do in any family. But I think first and foremost, obviously, the parents need to keep the communication lines open, and one way to do that is by reminding the child of what they should already know, and that is that regardless of sin, regardless of time and space, that love, that parental love, will always be there for them.
Another reaction, and this one is sadly common as well, and I want your pastoral reflection on it, is for the parent to kind of say, well, you know, I guess if I'm going to keep loving this child and keep the relationship together, I'm going to have to affirm it. And this happens so often, you know, when it was just a theory, I agreed with the Bible on homosexuality, but now that it's my own kid, I can't find myself agreeing with it anymore. And I affirm my child's sexual orientation. What's your pastoral reflection there?
Something that doesn't change, certainly, is God's word and his will for humans as individuals and for families. And so simply because your family dynamic may or may not have changed, it certainly doesn't change what the Bible has to say about human sexuality. So, again, a very human, even in many ways, a parental response, and that is you want to love your child regardless, and if that means avoiding or ignoring God's word to do that, as a pastor, obviously, I would lead someone to understand that that's not an option, and that we have to embrace God's word for all of its counsel and all of its wisdom given to us. But, of course, that's not, in the end, going to help your child. You know, as much as you love them, sometimes the truth has to be upheld, and we call it many things, but I think most of us can relate to the phrase of tough love, and that's obviously loving someone so much that you're willing to speak the truth to them. So somewhere down the road, it may not be as you first become aware of your child's situation as a parent, you know, it may not be the best time until you've sat down and maybe spoken to your pastor, spoken to other parents, prayerfully considered your thoughts on the matter before you have that heart-to-heart with your son or daughter. But at the same time, at some point, that needs to happen. Yes, I love you. Yes, that will always be the case. But yes, as a Christian, I'm called to uphold God's word, every cross T and every dotted I. And even when that means perhaps disharmony in my own family, that gets very hard. And as a pastor counseling parents, that gets very hard to discuss with them, that whereas the sinful Adam might want us to keep peace within the family and thereby ignore God's word in the process, the new man, the new creation, is one that's called to uphold the truth of God's word. And certainly, because we understand that this brokenness that our son or daughter is experiencing in their sexuality is very important and can be very devastating to the Christian faith, to the point where it might lead them away from faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And of course, there's no parent, no Christian parent in the world that desires that for their son or daughter. So, yes, the truth must be spoken in a loving evangelical way, but spoken nonetheless.
Pastor Kevin Carner is our guest. He's pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Bristol, Connecticut, author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled It's Broken, Hope and Healing for the Struggle. We're talking about the church's message to those struggling with same-sex temptation. When we come back, there is another reaction that parents might have, and this is probably one that Christians fear the most with their kids. Not so much the announcement that the kid is gay, but the concern that that same-sex temptation might lead them away from the Christian faith. We'll talk about that after this.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has a new fall schedule for adult boot camps and sports performance training classes. There's plenty of flexibility with workouts on weekday mornings, weekday evenings, or even Saturday mornings. Arch Fitness has a new, bigger location at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. On this Tuesday afternoon, November the 5th, we're talking about the church's message to those struggling with same-sex temptation. Pastor Kevin Conner is our guest in a few minutes. Wesley Smith of the Discovery Institute will join us to talk about a euthanasia bill applied to children in Belgium. Pastor Conner, there's a third reaction that parents might have. The kid comes home, they're surprised, perhaps shocked to hear the announcement that the kid is gay. But their greater fear is that this temptation to sexual sin, whatever the sexual sin may be, it doesn't have to be same-sex attraction, may lead their children away from the Christian faith entirely. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I agree with you 100%. I think that ultimately in the mind of every Christian parent, that is any parent's greatest fear, that we do our best as parents, as being the sinners that we are, the imperfect parents that all of us are, we do our best to plant the seed, to raise our children in Christian homes by putting the Word of God in their hands and bringing them to the services of God's house, confirmation, and all the rest. And ultimately, we know that in spite of all of that, there are no guarantees, that evil is strong, the brokenness of our world is everywhere, that there is no guarantee that that young son or daughter that we love so terribly much will always have Jesus Christ as the center of their lives. I'm fearful of that as a pastor with three daughters, and I'm sure any and every other parent can relate to that as well. So yeah, I mean, certainly as a pastor, you're dealing with that too. As those parents come to you and say, Pastor, what do we do? You're not only thinking, what resources can I provide for these parents to deal with this situation in their family, but, I've got to minister to them in regards to that fear that, yes, it's certainly possible that our children may fall away from the faith, but God certainly has given us many promises in His Word that evil may be strong, but God is certainly stronger, and that our children, no matter what they face in this life, will never be asked to do it alone, that Christ, their Lord and Savior, will be with them every step of the way, and the church will be a resource for them, no matter what sin, sexual or otherwise, they find themselves facing. So I agree absolutely that all parents would be fearful in that regard, and they need to be strengthened with gospel promises that God will never leave them or forsake them as parents, and that the gospel will be always available for them and for their children in every passage of time, in every stage of life.
Our temptations are a sign of our brokenness. Our failure to respond as parents and friends and family and church is a sign of our brokenness. Is brokenness all around and enough to go around? What is the comfort that God's Word gives to parents, to people struggling with these temptations, even to the church and its failure to act according to that Word? What is the comfort for all of us in the midst of this situation?
Well, the one word answer, of course, would be Jesus himself. And he encountered so much brokenness in his life during his time on earth among us, and, you know, showed great emotion when coming into contact with that brokenness, you know, by feeling such great sadness and compassion toward people who were living that brokenness. So we look at him and his own life and how to sort of guide us in how we need to be responding to the brokenness that we find in our own world. And I come back to that word compassion. When Jesus saw the great angst and brokenness in his world, his compassion came to the forefront. And I think that's certainly where we as Christians, both individually, as families, and collectively as the body of Christ, we find ourselves today. It would be very easy in a world that is embracing, especially and specifically, sexual sin to the point where it's no longer sin, but it's actually embraced and seen as a good thing, that instead of being shocked and sort of circling the wagons and having nothing to do with that, it really drives us to compassionately find ways to reach people, to reach individuals themselves who are struggling with the sin, to reach those moms and dads, those families that are now facing this perhaps for the first time in their lives with a loved one and not quite knowing how to respond to it. And then as pastors and other Christian counselors who are faced with these issues now more than ever before, wondering, you know, ourselves as pastors, how best to respond and feeling many times so inadequate to the task, and yet finding support from brothers and sisters in Christ to nonetheless bring the message of Christ to the hurting. But the comfort in all of this is certainly that regardless of the sin, there is no sin greater than God's love in Christ. And his blood, his shed blood on the cross, covers all sins, sexual and otherwise, and that no one need to ever feel that their sin, their lives, whatever it may be, is so great that God can no longer love them, that the church can no longer minister to them, because that's certainly not true. The comfort is that God's love, just like any parent's love for their child, God's love will always be there in Christ. And for those who will repent of their sins and faithfully trust God's love for them in Christ, it's always there. My great privilege as a pastor is simply to remind people of that wonderful truth and to lead them toward the cross and toward that repentance that understands our need for God's healing and forgiveness, and then to simply embrace that it's there to receive that gift that God so freely offers in Jesus.
Pastor Kevin Carner is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Bristol, Connecticut, author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled, It's Broken, Hope and Healing for the Struggle. Pastor Carner, thanks for being our guest.
Todd, thank you for having me.